Welcome to the Men on Purpose podcast, featuring dynamic conversations with emerging and established visionary men on purpose. Thanks for joining us today as we celebrate the men on purpose who are committed, creative, courageous change makers all around the world. Now, here's the host of Men on Purpose, Emerald Greenforest.
And welcome to another episode of the Men on Purpose podcast, where we celebrate men on purpose and provide our listeners with wisdom and immediately actionable steps to be more purposeful, powerful, and positive in their impact and their leadership. This is your host, Emerald Greenforest, and today we welcome our very special guest, Tim Fargo. Tim is an American author, angel investor, and entrepreneur. He was previously CEO of Omega Insurance Services, a business that he started in 1996 and sold in 2003 for $20 million. He is now the CEO of Social Jukebox, which is an automated social media posting system. And I have to talk a little bit personally about how I know Tim, because I got connected with Tim through my great friend Doug Sandler from the Nice Guys on Business podcast, who suggested that I utilize Tim's Social Jukebox tool to help more people be able to find out about, access, and tune into the Men on Purpose podcast. And so far, it has been awesome to use the Social Jukebox tool. And so as soon as I started to activate my use of that tool and find out a little bit more about Tim, it was a natural thing for me to desire to have him on the show. So thank you so much, Tim, for being here. Thank you so much for creating that amazing tool. And I look forward to diving in with you.
Emerald, thanks for having me, and thanks for being a subscriber to Social Jukebox. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. So clearly you are a man on purpose, Tim, and I have identified several different characteristics that I find are pretty across the board with men on purpose. And so I'm going to ask you a number of questions about things that begin with the letter C. And the first question I have for you is a question about clarity. And I'd like to ask you how you go about getting clear and knowing what it is that you want to change or create in the world.
It's interesting that you ask, because it's something that's pretty near and dear to me. And I've been thinking about it, because my goals and aspirations, for instance, for Social Jukebox today are very different from when I ran Omega. And I think the ideal world is that you actually do think about this as an entrepreneur or a business person, because I think a lot of people go, you know, get to the top of the mountain. Well, that's great if you're sure that's what you want. But I think sometimes people chase after an ideal. And like, for instance, Omega was the company with over 300 employees by the time I sold it. I have no desire to recreate that, just because of the complexity and some of the other things that kind of go along with that. At this stage of my life, that's not what I'm interested in. So I think, you know, getting clarity on what you want starts with, you know, really thinking about what you're in for. For different people at different stages of their life are going to want different things. And I think it's important to tailor it for yourself. It's not great for someone else to say, I want what Tim has, because maybe that'll work for you, but maybe it won't. So if you think about your own circumstances and what you have going on in your life, I think that all really kind of blends into bring you that clarity on how you're going to approach and kind of set the standard for yourself or the goal for yourself in whatever it is you're doing. And that's what I do. And I find that when I do that, I end up being a much happier person instead of just running wild, so to speak.
Cool. Well, so what I heard there was another C word, which is comparison. And, you know, that tendency that sometimes we have to look at what somebody else has and say, oh, maybe I want that, but we really don't necessarily have the clarity when we ask for that about what it took to get that. So I love that you're bringing that to the table. And I also love that you actually had the courage to make the decision to let go of a $20 million company and to, you know, step into a whole new zone and create something entirely new for yourself. So how did you gird your heart to find that courage to walk away from a $20 million company and then to start something new in your life?
Well, I think the first decision had to do with, by virtue of it being a service business, we had a lot of moving parts, shall we say, because it was an investigation business. So we were moving a lot of information around. There were a lot of day-to-day issues that came up. So as much as I enjoyed building it, if I'm honest, I don't know, maybe I get props from some people for going, wow, it's a big company. That must have been really cool. For me personally, it was really cool when there was about 30, 40 people. But as you get to 300 and you don't know people without their name tag, it becomes less fun. You're operating this giant vessel, so to speak. And I know it's not huge in a kind of Jeff Bezos type, you know, size, but big enough for me anyhow. To walk away from that was actually pretty easy because I wanted to get to something more simple. And I took a lot of time off and did projects so that I could spend more time with my kids while they were small. Once they get older, as they are now, they're not as interested in spending as much time with me. We have a great relationship with them, but you know, it was super fun to be spending time with them when they were small. So in that regard, it was pretty easy to walk away from, especially since I was being pretty well compensated for it.
Nice. All right. Well, so it sounds like you know how to exercise the power of choice, which I think is another attribute of a man on purpose. So how do you accept your own success and then allow yourself permission to receive and bring into fruition whatever it was that you dreamed or visioned that you wanted? Like, how do you make those choices that will take you closer to what it is that you want or take you away from the things that you're complete with?
Well, one thing I'll say for sure, and I know everybody wants to experience this for themselves, but I thought my life would be transformed when I sold my company. And in certain ways it was, but in a lot of other ways it wasn't. You know, I mean, your kids still think of you in the same way they did before. Your friends, if they're true friends, think about you in the same way they did. And, you know, and your relationships still have more or less the same dynamic. So you get a litany of choices on the kind of, you know, sort of purchasing menu of life improves dramatically. But for me, I don't know if I'm being very clear on this, but I guess I walked away from it with the idea that I would never conduct my life in a different way than I had before I ever had money. I mean, I do live in a nicer apartment than when I was a student, but I don't have a big boat. You know, I don't have like a super expensive car or any of that stuff because I don't really care about any of that stuff. I tried to kind of stay true to myself and not get caught up in a lot of externalities about what I ought to be doing now that I had some kind of success or whatever that means.
Beautiful. I love that. I love that you didn't get caught up. There's another C word. And it sounds like you stayed committed to your own kind of core values. So can you talk about your core values and your level of commitment? And are there any exercises that you do or practices that you engage in that allow you to stay on course with your core values and your commitments to yourself and to others?
Look, I would say the biggest thing, and this is probably more clear to me now as I've gotten older than it ever was before, and that is the things that matter are like really the people in your life and being around people who bring value to your life. I mean, both in terms of their friendship to you and being true friends in the sense that they don't just give you a pass. I mean, if somebody thinks you're full of it, it's pretty good if they tell you. And I'd like to say that's kind of a hallmark of a good friend is somebody that'll throw up the stop sign in front of you when you're about to do something particularly dumb. I get that often enough. My core value is finding ways to enjoy the people around me and enjoy my life in that regard. I'm in business and doing it because it's kind of a game and it's fun for me. But at this point, I mean, I'm not really in it for the money. I mean, it's nice and it's kind of a way to keep score, but you kind of stick to the knitting of what's important is, you know, who I spend time with and what I spend my time doing day to day. I don't have any particularly lofty ideals about, you know, that I'm any different than I was when I was delivering newspapers when I was, you know, 14. So.
So I would love to ask you now about that kind of interim period between 30 and 40 employees with Omega and 300 employees with Omega. Was there any like signal that you got kind of internally or externally that started to move you towards making the choice to let that go? Like, was it a slow kind of, oh, I'm done with this? Or was there like a defining moment where you said, I'm done with this?
There wasn't anything that happened. I mean, there wasn't kind of a aha or oh crap moment that made me decide it, but it was more a progression of going from when we were all crammed into a fairly small office with far too many people in far too small space. But we were having a blast and everybody knew everyone and it was kind of a big, somewhat dysfunctional family. But, you know, then it just became me running this ship from an office where, you know, I was looking at metrics and how fast we were collecting cash and how fast cases were getting worked and keeping up with exception reports and complaints and things like that. And it wasn't horrible or anything. I mean, it was a decent enough life. I really liked that kind of esprit de corps and camaraderie we had when we were smaller. And the further we got away from that, the more to me it was just, I realized I had something and our growth at the point we put the company up for sale was really, really solid. And buyers tend to pay for, they extrapolate what you've done into what you're going to do. Whether that is even true or not, you know, depends on a myriad of things. But I knew we probably would get as good a price as possible by doing it, because I didn't know how much longer we could keep the growth curve so steep. So between the loss of the kind of camaraderie and the realization that we probably had a pretty decent enterprise value, given, you know, the kind of business we were, it all kind of fell together. I was talking to some people. I was part of like a, what do they call these things? I was in a YPO forum, but a lot of people call them a
mastermind.
Yeah, like a mastermind group. And the more I talked to people, I mean, I got reflections back, like, you know, you thought about divesting yourself of this thing. That conversation came up and then the pieces just all kind of fell together. We put it up for sale and we got some offers and then we got a great offer. So we took the great offer.
Yay. All right. Well, we're going to take a short pause. This is a great offering time for a short pause, Tim. And when we come back, we're going to talk about taking that pause in between selling off your old company and then that creative urge to do something new and how Social Jukebox came into being. And we will be right back in just a moment with Tim Fargo. I want to thank now all of our listeners who are downloading, rating, and reviewing. We've had thousands of downloads from all over the world. I want to especially shout out this week to our listeners in Sri Lanka. And I want to especially shout out this week and thank Tim Fargo of Social Jukebox for helping the word get spread of the Men on Purpose podcast and our mission. So we will be right back in just a moment.
The Men on Purpose podcast is brought to you by the Creative Age Consulting Group. Men, are you ready to take the leap and go deep to discover the most meaningful mark you can make with your life? Is now the time to consciously craft the legacy life you want to lead? Are you already a legendary leader looking for your big what's next? Creative Age Consulting Group is hired to help men just like you to gain clarity, create consciously, and commit courageously. Please visit timetomakeyourmark.com to apply for an invitation-only consultation. Be sure to apply for a consultation today if you have been inspired to receive support in serving your purpose and making your most meaningful mark. Once again, that's timetomakeyourmark.com or click on the link in the show notes for access to the application.
And we are back with Tim Fargo of Social Jukebox. Tim is an American author, angel investor, and entrepreneur, and was previously the CEO of Omega Insurance Services. But he made the decision to divest himself of that business and take a pause, and then suddenly was inspired to create something new. So I'd love to talk to you about that rest period in between, Tim, and kind of how long that lasted for you, and then what happened to inspire you to create something new, because creating is another one of those C words that mark a man on purpose. So what inspired you or continues to inspire you to take the leap and engage in an action that will bring something new to the world?
Well, after I sold, where it was just like dust settling and getting reacquainted with my family who hadn't seen me as often as I'd have liked, you know, I was doing things like buying property and dividing it into pieces and selling it off. And I did some renovation of some properties and things like that. And one of those properties was in the States, but most of those properties were in Sweden where I'd moved with my ex-wife. So we did a lot of kind of property related stuff there. I was in that mix and doing those things, and it was fun and it was great. there's a certain amount of repetition that occurs when you're doing these things where it's like, you know, you're meeting with the same people from the municipality. You're having the same kinds of conversations. It's nice enough, I suppose. What I'm doing now is very different from that. So if you fast forward a little bit, I mean, it's literally 10 years between when I left Omega and when I got the first inklings of Social Jukebox was in 2013. I came out with my book, Alphabet Success. And like a lot of authors, I thought, wow, I'm writing this book. That's so awesome. This will be great when it's done. Well, when you finish the book is when the journey really begins.
Exactly.
So it's like, hello, do you have an audience for this thing? And I don't know how I managed to delude myself into thinking it would be otherwise. So I got onto social media and I was posting on Twitter and I was using a lot of quotes because I was trying to build just an audience to kind of see what direction to go in. It just took a lot of time. I was traveling, you know, in the intervening period between 2003 and 2013, I'd gotten divorced and then into a new relationship. So I was traveling with my new wife after the book had come out. And I kept like, will we have a broadband connection that's good enough for me to upload all this stuff, et cetera, et cetera. So we were actually in South Africa and I got super frustrated because I kept having to like time our travels around when I'd be able to upload and get access to stuff because I wanted my feeds to, you know, kind of remain constant. So I contacted my old director of IT in the States, Len Sixt, and he built the original version of this. And it was built originally, it wasn't meant to be a business. It was meant to be a posting tool for me. I would have my own little thing that I could use that would take care of this stuff for me. And I quickly found out, though, that people were much more interested in this tool that I developed than they were in my book. So being a guy that tries to go with the easy path in life, I decided that maybe I ought to be marketing this tool instead of my book. And that turned out to be fairly prophetic. I make money every month from the book, but I can tell you it's a very small fraction of what I make from Social Jukebox. It's fantastic, though, in many ways, because you get exposure to a lot of people's different businesses. I mean, there's some common themes because everybody's using it for social media, but the way that they try to use the system, depending on what they're doing, can be very different. So, and it's fun that way, talk to all the different people who are using the tool.
Well, I love that you brought to our attention, to the men on purpose in our audience who are thinking about being an author and creating a book, the fact that it's just the beginning once you get the book in your hand. That is absolutely true. And that you are responsible in today's day and age for creating the audience. And I absolutely adore the Social Jukebox tool, and I can see how it is a better seller than any book could be. So I love that you were brave enough and courageous enough to just say, oh, okay, I put this together to make my book work, but it's not doing the job for my book, but it alone has high value. So that's really fun. And I want to thank you for that. And I want to also remind our listeners that if you are going to have a book, you definitely want to use Social Jukebox, whether it's a book or a podcast or any other marketing that's evergreen for sure. Social Jukebox is an excellent tool to just continue to be consistently getting your message out. I love that you use the word constant, like you wanted to be more constant and consistent in getting your message out. And that's one of the main reasons why I appreciate it. The other thing too is most social media is, it's so in the moment, in the moment, in the moment, and you don't know who's actually connecting, that using this tool allows you to both put your information in front of the same people repeatedly, but also put your information in during a variety of time frames where who knows who's seeing it and when they're seeing it. So I really appreciate the tool and I really appreciate you for not keeping it to yourself, Tim. Thank you for sharing.
Well, my pleasure. You know, one thing I'll add, and that is that I think it's an underappreciated thing that the messages do need to be repeated because it's actually a little bit egocentric to think just because you've shared something once that the world knows about it. I can't remember what campaign manager said this to what politician, but the politician was apparently complaining about how repetitious his stump speeches were. And he said, about the time that you're absolutely sick of saying it over and over again is about the time that the first few people have begun to actually even hear your message. And I think there's a lot of truth to that in social media. And I'm not saying you just have to like constantly like repeat the same message, but I think that repetitive sharing ends up being fine because in general, most people are not going to catch it on the first, second, or third time. So you definitely need to kind of keep sharing if you really want that message to get through.
I would totally agree. In fact, that leads me to my next question, which is about coaching. One of the things I learned when I first found out about the coaching industry was that it was important for me to actually be at the foot, right? I was at the foot of a really excellent coach, and I stayed at her feet for 5 years. And she kept saying the same things over and over and over again. But every single time, I distilled more and I integrated more and I understood better because I was putting some of those things into action. I have a yoga teacher also who says repetition is the mother of mastery. So I take and use coaches in my life, and I've been in many masterminds. You mentioned a mastermind before. Does coaching play a role in your business? Do you have a coach? Do you belong to masterminds still? Tell me a little bit more about coaching, because I'm sure you're serving for sure a lot of coaches with your business.
I don't have a coach myself, but what I do have is most of the people from that original kind of mastermind forum that I was part of back in 2003 when I was selling Omega. I'm still in very frequent contact with all those people. So while we don't necessarily have as many get-togethers, in part because I divide my time between Europe and the States, but I definitely reach out to those people a lot. And I think that's something that's underappreciated. I mean, I think very often people think a leader is somebody who's always got the answer. And I think it's much more important as a leader to be the person who knows a lot of people that know about a lot of different things. Because if you're counting on yourself to have all the answers, then you better plan on having a pretty small enterprise. Because it's really hard. The world becomes increasingly complex with every day. And I think both in terms of broadness of expertise, as well as kind of what we talked about even with friendship before, having people who will just tell you like, that is one of the most colossally bad ideas I've ever heard. Sometimes you're in your own little echo chamber, and it's really easy to think, oh, I think I'll do this now. And they're like, why would you do that? I still use that kind of mastermind sort of relationships with people where I'm bouncing ideas all the time off people and asking them questions about, am I thinking about this in the right way? And I think it's really important not only to seek feedback, but to actually listen to it.
Yeah, beautiful. I also think it's important to be mindful about who you're getting the feedback from, because sometimes people will give you feedback that is colossally bad feedback. So
sure, absolutely.
Part of the work is being really discerning too, and discerning who you're surrounding yourself with, discerning who you're asking those questions of. So awesome. All right. Well, I am super excited that we had this opportunity to connect with one another. I want to let people know that if you want to know more about Social Jukebox, you can go to www.socialjukebox.com, socialjukebox.com, and find out about this amazing tool that Tim has created. Tim, I'm super grateful that you came today to be on the show. And my last question for you is, men on purpose know the value of celebration. So what is it that you do in your life and in your business when it's time to celebrate? What's your favorite way of celebrating?
It's usually travel. Let's say we've released some new code and we've like launched some new feature or some new functionality and we've gotten through it and there's no real bugs or, you know, whatever the milestone may be. Usually it'll be like, I'll have something planned to go, whether we're in Europe or we're in the US. I mean, we usually go away for a long weekend or maybe even a week. And it's part of the beauty of my business is I can still manage it while I'm away. But the ultimate treat is a change in environment and go see new stuff and see how other people live and, you know, kind of recharge my batteries that way.
Awesome. Well, where's your next trip, Tim?
Actually, the missus really wants to go to Bhutan. So that's coming up this fall. Kind of that'll be tied in with a trip to Nepal and India as well. We'll be gone for about 2.5 weeks on that.
Beautiful. Well, I hope you have a fantastic journey, and I'm sure it will be celebrating something wonderful. And I want to thank all of our listeners. Listeners, we love feedback. Please let us know what you thought of our show today and send in questions or guest suggestions to listeners at menonpurposepodcast.com. We might even give you a shout out on the show. Thanks for tuning in. Keep your ears open. And remember, you are magnificent men.
Thanks for tuning in, downloading, and listening. Be sure to review and rate Men on Purpose on iTunes and share with other men who can benefit from today's episode. Men on Purpose is the premier podcast series for informing, activating, and inspiring the leader who has made his money and knows that now is the time to make his mark. We welcome your feedback and guest suggestions and invite you to subscribe to our mailing list to be notified of each new episode at menonpurposepodcast.com.